The following is a community affairs presentation from the Ulster County Health Department. This is the Healthy Ulster Radio Show, a weekly presentation exploring community health and sustainability with guests representing a broad spectrum of community partners working to make Ulster County the healthiest in New York State. This program is sponsored by the Health Alliance of the Hudson Valley in Kingston, a member of the WMC Health Network.
Good morning. You are listening to Healthy Ulster Radio. I am your host, Dr. Carol Smith, Commissioner of Health and Mental Health for Ulster County. With me this morning is my co-host, Vin Martello, our Director of Community Health Relations. Good morning, Vin.
Good morning, Dr. Smith. How are you?
Fine, thank you.
Dr. Smith, many, many times on Healthy Ulster Radio, we've discussed the fact that you really can't change an individual's or a family's life for the better without looking at the total context in which they live their lives. And that involves not only medical care, but safe and affordable housing, affordable transportation, employment, education, all of those things that go into making a healthy family and a healthy community. And today, we are very fortunate to have a special guest, and I'm going to turn it over to you to
thank
introduce.
Thank you, Ben. Yes, we certainly do. Today, our special guest is Ulster County Executive Michael Hine. Thank you for joining us this morning, Mike.
Dr. Smith, how are you doing?
Oh, I'm doing fine, thanks. You know, health in all policies has been part of your mission since the beginning of your tenure as county executive, and certainly we see so many ways in which the county has benefited from that philosophy. Would you like to speak a little bit more about your Building a Brighter Future initiative that you just rolled out for your 2019 budget campaign?
I always joke around with people. I said, you know, we work an extraordinary amount of time to try to move forward with in this case, a $329 million budget that impacts people of all different spectrums within our community. It has a huge impact financially, but oftentimes the conversation can be one number on one page. And that is, did the taxes go up or did the taxes go down? The one thing I've always been able to be so proud to say is that we respect the taxpayers of our community. And as we spend through the process with a full understanding of investing in our community and different issues, we've still been able to lower property taxes. And this year, we've lowered property taxes for the seventh year in a row, and they are now at the lowest level they have been since all the way back in 2010.
Amazing.
Really an amazing thing. I will tell you, I don't know of another municipality in the state of New York that has that.
Absolutely.
Has that kind of track record. But the bigger question to me, even though critically important the discussion comes around tax savings and property taxes, and understandably so, to me, the thing that is equally important is our ability to be able to provide essential resources to people in moments of need, our ability to be able to invest in critical things like infrastructure. And obviously, public health plays a part in all of that. One of the key things from in our administration, as you well know, hopefully your listeners will really see the connectivity to this whole process as well, is we've had health-based decision-making through virtually everything we do, oftentimes in areas that people may not initially connect. I mean, a good example of that is when you think of infrastructure, people think about roads and bridges, and they think, well, that's all it is. It's just concrete and steel, and it's road and bridges, and that's what it is. And when it gets old and worn out, what you do is you just replace it with what's always been there. Well, what we've said is, what would happen if you completely rethought your roads and bridges? What if you tried to make sure that you thought about infrastructure in a very different way? What if the roads you made were significantly wider so that people could bicycle and walk and jog and have physical activity in an area where before it might not be as safe? And then what would happen is when you restructured the bridges so that instead of just being old steel and no places for people to get across, that you made it so that people could easily and comfortably bicycle or walk or jog, wouldn't that promote additional activity in a community? And we have seen those kinds of changes. And we talk internally all the time about the Robert Wood Johnson National Health Rankings. We saw where Ulster County was in the beginning many years ago when we first came into office 8 years ago. It was devastating. We were near the bottom in the state of New York. But because we have allowed these kinds of decisions, these health-related decisions, to really work across all parts of what county government does, we've seen huge impact and huge improvements. And as a result of that, better health outcomes for the people of Ulster County. I couldn't be more excited about it. So again, when you talk about infrastructure, it's a part that we clearly think about from a health-related perspective. And it's not a small amount of money. You're talking about, since we have launched this, what we call Building a Better Ulster County initiative, it's been $70 million. A $70 million overhaul. And now when I talk about infrastructure, I talk about more than just roads and bridges. I now add to that the discussion of rail trails. Opening up outdoor activity, safe, easy outdoor activity for all different communities. Again, and creating a connectivity to it that's going to be nothing short of extraordinary. And how it all ties together. It's more than just outdoor activity. In many ways, it's tourism. In many ways, it is property values are elevated in that situation. And we're seeing that across this entire county. I'm excited about a lot of different projects when it comes to rail trails. If you think about those pieces as improving health, all you need to go is to go next to 299. Route 299 had forever just been this state highway that was very scary and difficult if someone ever decided they wanted to jog or walk or bicycle or any of this other you like. And the idea of connecting Poughkeepsie with New Paltz and Gardner and Rosendale and beyond seemed almost impossible. But we set forth a real strategy, worked with the town of Lloyd, and a real tip of the hat to the governor's office, who really understood the importance of this connectivity. And so we got the governor's office to move what was called the Empire State Trail. This Empire State Trail was supposed to go from Battery Park into the Adirondacks. And it was wonderful, and it was a beautiful idea. And it was really an extraordinary commitment by the state. The problem was it would run the entire east coast of the Hudson River. And the real challenge for us was we weren't on the east coast of the Hudson River. And so people would not be able to have access the Catskill Mountains or all that we have to offer here. And so I went to the governor's office, and ultimately they made a fundamental change and included Ulster County in the Empire State Trail. And so now when you see the map, it goes up from New York City to Poughkeepsie, comes across the Hudson River, across the walkway over the Hudson into Ulster County, and ultimately leaves across, well, it will ultimately leave across the Kingston Rhinecliff Bridge. And so it bounces into Ulster County as an absolute result of all the work that's already been done here. And so, again, if you go along 299 between the town of Lloyd and the town of New Paltz, what you will find is a huge three-part construction project taking place as we speak. There is the part that is going to connect the walkway over the Hudson, the first third of it from there out to Route 299. That's the town of Lloyd. They're finishing it up as we speak. Then there's the middle section, which was the county-owned portion of this property. We're complete. It's open today as we speak. There's a parking lot there across from Lowe's home improvement store. Then we're going to work with the state DOT to improve three separate intersections, all to make it safer and easier for people to be able to get out and see the beautiful views and simultaneously be able to commute back and forth from a Metro North train station into the SUNY New Paltz campus and obviously all the other opportunities that exist there. And though the state section, which was supposed to take us that final way into New Paltz, was supposed to start in 2020, with conversations with the governor's office, we got them to commit to drastically changing that time horizon, and it's under construction as we speak, and we fully expect it to be operational by the end of the year. So that means you will connect from, again, you could some a visitor to our community can come up by bike on the Metro North train, go up a glass elevator up the walkway over the Hudson, bike into the Ulster County, and have the capacity to go picking apples and have lunch and enjoy themselves and visit our community, whether it be for the afternoon and be home by dinner, or they can do the exact same thing and stay a weekend or an entire week and really enjoy all that Ulster County has to offer. And that's why you see this tie-in to this also impacts things like tourism. Think about tourism in Ulster County 8 years ago. Tourism in Ulster County 8 years ago was, to be quite frank with you, a real challenge. The county used to invest in advertising in Ulster County for Ulster County tourism. I smiled when I came into office and I said, you do realize that we're already here. So there was no, you didn't have to convince us to be here. We're here. The challenge was drawing people from the pool of 22 million people in the metro New York area, because we knew that if you brought people to our community, we had so much to offer that they would absolutely be beyond excited and they'd come back. And in that process, they would bring additional dollars that are low impact dollars into our community that we could then further invest in making things better and safer and healthier for our entire community. And it has worked. We've seen an enormous improvement. We've seen, I think our numbers are at this point, are 141% increase.
Wow.
An enormous increase. We're now at $587 million as our tourism economy here in Ulster County. And to put it in perspective, we're 100,000 fewer people than Dutchess County. Mm-hmm. We don't have any of the train stations that are available to them with easy, instant access to the metro New York area. Yet, we have virtually identical tourism spending as Dutchess County. And that really is a testament to the four-season destination that we are mm-hmm. and all the people who have been actively involved in the process. But for me, again, we've been talking about the realities of how that can be impactful for everybody. That's the kind of the next important step. We've seen things like our unemployment level fall. We are now at the lowest level of unemployment we have had since, again, over the course of approximately 20 years. Then the question becomes making sure that everybody is participating in that kind of prosperity. That when we see things like big improvements in property values in different areas, that everybody is participating in that and not just a select
few. Right, a real challenge.
And so that's the next really step in this process, is being able to address some of the challenges that impact serious issues that often go really undiscussed because they're so uncomfortable for so many folks. And that is issues like generational poverty. Mm-hmm. And so I look forward to talking more about
that. That's great. And we want to hear much more about that. It's really exciting. But first, we're going to take a short break. You're listening to Healthy Ulster Radio. Our special guest is Ulster County Executive Mike Hine.
Every day, we make decisions that affect our health. There are steps you can take to enhance well-being and increase the likelihood of positive outcomes. This message is brought to you by Health Alliance Hospitals, members of the Westchester Medical Center Health Network. Breast cancer may be present long before it comes to your attention and may take years to develop. Early in the disease, most breast cancers cause no symptoms. When breast cancer is detected at a localized stage, the five-year survival rate is 98%. This message is brought to you by the Breast Health Center at Health Alliance Hospitals.
Welcome back. You are listening to Healthy Ulster Radio. Our very special guest this morning is Ulster County Executive Michael Hine. Mike, before the break, you spent some time talking about all of the amazing achievements that you have managed to realize during the years of your administration. And just before the break, you started referencing what really you're calling now the Brighter Future Initiative. Would you like to tell us a little bit more about what your vision is for that initiative?
Well, we've worked collectively so hard as a group of people, and I can't tell you how lucky we are. We have great partners all across the county, some inside government, some outside government, many not-for-profits, a whole host of people all pushing in the same direction to make Ulster County a better place. And it's worked. The challenge is always making sure that everybody is participating in that kind of benefit. And part of that has been a realization that you run the risk of having have and have nots. And here's a fundamental statistic that I thought was very eye-opening. If you're born into poverty through no fault of your own, 84% of the time, you die in poverty too. That is a stunning statistic that really talks about how difficult it is and how the deck is often stacked against a young child. Mm-hmm. And as a parent, I thought to myself, there has to be a better way. First off, that's a disgrace as a nation. We're better than that as a country, of a land that understands that we're supposed to be the land of opportunity. Well, when 84% of the people who are born into poverty die in poverty, that opportunity doesn't seem like they're participating in at the level that they should be. So we set forth trying to do something different. First and foremost, I understood what the fastest ticket out of poverty is for many, many, many people, and that's access to higher education. And we have an extraordinary community college here in Ulster County, and providing access to low-cost higher education was pivotal. So part of the process was something that we've already completed, and I couldn't be more pleased, and it's functioning extremely well. And that is Ulster's SUNY campus that's right in the city of Kingston in what was formerly the Sophie Finn Elementary School. Rather than sitting there vacant, it's now become this vibrant community college satellite campus. A child who is in the city of Kingston and their main means of transportation, I would say, is their feet or a bicycle. If you can walk to high school, you can now walk to college. And that's an exciting moment. But there's a truth, and that is that for many young people, it's much more than that. Some folks are really struggling, and the challenges that are keeping them from even graduating from high school can be substantial. Say, again, think about it this way. A young person makes a mistake. They're 16 years old. I always tell people, 16-year-olds make mistakes because they're 16 years old. That's what happens. Teenagers make mistakes. And if they find themselves in any way, shape, or form involved with the police, they can start down a path that is called the school-to-prison pipeline and never find themselves out of that vortex and ultimately end up doing big portions of their adult life incarcerated because of a series of poor choices that they make as a young person. Now, the question is, how do you deal with those kinds of situations? Well, New York State has passed an important law called Raise the Age. So those young people who are 16 and soon 17 years old will, instead of going before a criminal court, will find themselves in family court. And different kinds of questions are going to be asked, like, what's going on at home? Are there ways that we can be able to impact this? Is there substance abuse happening here? Is there mental health issues taking place here? All with a simple goal and to try to be able to provide a second chance that is effective for those young people. And it's not just people who are justice involved, and that's what that group is called in that situation, but also at-risk kids. So I thought about doing something very different. Rather than simply doing the very bare minimum that many counties are doing in this situation with this new law called Raise the Age, I said, what would happen if we said, take it to the other extreme? How do we get to a space where we are fundamentally changing people's lives? How can we make sure that there is the kind of intense case management in place to assist these young people to change their life and to transform the trajectory that they're on into a very different space? And so it set me down the path of really redoing a building in Kingston. And that is, at the head of Broadway in Kingston, there was a former storage facility that was all packed in with Ulster County storage. And we said, we can take this and reshape it and do something special. And we formed the Restorative Justice and Community Empowerment Center. Your listeners may see it as they drive through Broadway. There's a big construction project happening as we speak. And in that process, we're excited about what that's going to mean. That's going to be going to mean specially trained probation officers to assist in the process. There's going to be a special, what we call a care coordinator, to make sure that all the services are provided and the child really benefits. This is all child focused as well. But there are also things like restorative justice circles. And that's not going soft on anybody. There is true accountability attached to this. But restorative justice is a very different model in which it brings in and considers the victim. It takes in consideration the community and the impact that it's had on the community. And in the restorative justice circles, what ends up ultimately happening is the person who is the offender ultimately has to make things right. And in that process, you can take a 16 or 17-year-old person, and rather than putting them in jail, find them in a position where they have better understood what's gone wrong here and started down a different path. Now, it is not a panacea. It does not solve every problem in any way, shape, or form. But it absolutely is a different way of thinking about those kinds of first interactions with the system. In addition to that, we are very focused on making sure that person becomes college ready. And if college ready is not what they're looking for, that they simultaneously are doing the kinds of necessary job training so that they can find themselves into a different and more positive life. Oftentimes, we are young folks who their whole life has existed within a 6 or 7 block area. And we're looking to be able to provide a real eye-opening moment of what's possible and what, for them and for our entire community. So we think by doing those kinds of things, we can make an impact. Now, in addition to that, we have been very fortunate because we have shown success in tackling tough issues before, like homelessness among our veterans population, or some of the health-related issues when it came to improving our overall health rankings. We have seen significant investment from the Novo Foundation and through the community foundations of the Hudson Valley, and we couldn't be more fortunate. It is a $4 million 2-year commitment specifically to impact generational poverty. So all of these pieces come together under an umbrella that we're calling a Brighter Futures Initiative. In addition to that, we're going to be making easy access to low-cost, high-quality food at Kingston's only major supermarket. So we're going to connect Midtown Kingston through a rail trail connection right into where the Hannaford is. Because right now, one of the real challenges is if you are living in poverty and you're living in Midtown Kingston, the idea of being able to make it all the way to the supermarket, which many of us take for granted, to be able to get put on the food on the table for our own children can become a huge challenge. And instead, what ends up happening is we do our shopping at the corner store. And so if that happens, where the pattern happens, where a family starts doing all their shopping for their basic food staples at the corner store, they end up spending a lot. So the people with the least are spending the most and having very limited choice. With those as the backdrops, there's fundamentally a problem there when it's an easy fix. Mm-hmm. And so we've created this linear park. It also impacts crime in the area by creating a well-lit area that is going to have security cameras. It's well lit, easy to bike on, easy to walk on, an additional place for people to be able to play in and recreate in areas without means, just like so many areas have that are of means within our community. And it really creates that scenario in which everybody's able to participate in a healthier lifestyle. Again, all of this ties into these kinds of goals because we know something that we have to do something about. If you have generational poverty, the other thing that nobody really has this big, broad conversation about outside of, again, shows like your own, is the discussion that if there is generational poverty happening in your community and you are poor, what ends up ultimately happening is the health outcomes mm-hmm. are terrible compared to somebody who has proper health insurance, who is in a scenario where they have more means. And you have people who are dying prematurely, that it doesn't have to be that way. You have children who are underperforming in school mm-hmm. because they're not receiving the basic dental care or the basic health care that we all can oftentimes take for granted. So the goals here are to be able to tackle a lot of these kinds of issues, access to higher education, and to be honest with you, as we move through this process, I firmly believe that we will only be successful if we partner with places like BOCES, who has been an extraordinary partner and committed to this process, as we work with places like our community college, as we work with other local stores and non-for-profits, all to make sure that we're providing critical other components like mentorship. Like if a young person is in our situation where they're coming into the Restorative Justice and Community Empowerment Center, I really want to make sure that they have quality tutoring, so they can do well and be really prepared, that they're making sure they have the mentorship programs, and that ultimately in the end, there aren't silly impediments. Like, I have an impediment to go to higher education because of childcare, mm-hmm. or I have an impediment to go to higher education because of something simple, like affording a book, mm-hmm. or I have an impediment going into higher education because of things like transportation. Mm-hmm. We can fix those things. And so, again, a real tip of the hat to the mayor of the city of Kingston, who's been a wonderful partner in trying to design a scenario in which we move to a single transportation system. And in that transportation, I have proposed free bus service for everyone mm-hmm. from the July 1st takeover till the end of the year to make sure that the transition goes smoothly. And if you were a student at SUNY Ulster, that your student ID will serve as your bus pass. And so mm-hmm. you'll have instant access to the necessary ability to get around. Mm-hmm. And last but not least, for our veterans. Mm-hmm. If you have served our country, to my way of thinking, you have earned all the things that we can possibly do to make your life simpler. And so free bus service for all our veterans as well. All with an idea of making our community more well-connected and very much focus on health-related concerns.
That's really terrific. Wonderful. It's really talking about, you know, knocking down those barriers.
Absolutely.
Right? Because you can educate all you want about and encourage people to do the right thing with respect to taking care of themselves, but if they have all these barriors and can't, mm-hmm. then that becomes a real problem. And County Executive Hine, you've done some, you and your team have done really terrific work.
Congratulations.
And we really appreciate
it's just a
all
wonderful
you do.
Plan.
I appreciate it. And again, I'm incredibly appreciative of real partners. Again, 92.9 WBPM has been an amazing partner as well, making sure that everybody is well informed in this process.
Yes, it is.
Terrific. Unfortunately, we'd love to carry on this conversation
yes,
for a lot
longer.
Yes,
we'll have to have you back again.
We're out of time. So please tune in next week for more great information that you can use to keep yourself, your family, and our community healthy and strong. Bye-bye.
You've been listening to the Healthy Ulster Radio Show, a community affairs presentation from the Ulster County Health Department, sponsored by Health Alliance of the Hudson Valley in Kingston, a member of the WMC Health Network. Thanks for listening, and be sure to join us for another edition of the Healthy Ulster Radio Show next week.